podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Ridge and Brooke come for Quinn and Carter on B&B, Mardevil goes for Doug on Days, the fallout from Sonny's return continues on GH, and Nick gets the goods on Ashland on Y&R. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. My ears are still ringing from Jocelyn on General Hospital.
Ooh, stop. Oh, stop!
General Hospital was something this week. Something is about the best that can be described. Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Hello. I'm assuming you have another PowerPoint.
I don't have another PowerPoint.
He don't need it.
Stop with the PowerPoint.
I don't have another PowerPoint, but there is a topic that I want to talk about sometime on a podcast, but I don't feel like it's one that I should spring on you, so I'm going to save it.
What is this?
a topic I will bring up. It is a tease for a future episode.
No.
I will reveal after the podcast.
Because I'm like, Jillian, what did you think of bringing it? Nuh-uh, you talk about not springing it, but then you're going to spring it.
Mm. No, I'm not going to. Okay. Jillian, what did you think of Ridge and Brooke versus Carter and Quinn this week?
I don't understand what's going on, you know, because I get what they're trying to do, meaning Brooke and Ridge. They're defending Eric from Quinn's shenanigans because, I mean, it does sound fucking crazy to hear that your father, who was cheated on by this woman in Carter, is like, oh, go ahead, kids. You bring her home by 11 and you give her a good you-know-what for me. It's like really weird. So I get them like, no, but like they have made everybody, they've turned people into busybodies. Oh, Ridge is a big old gossip. Brooke is. They've ruined Katie, or as you say, ruined. They ruined Katie as a gossip. Like, I did enjoy her scenes with Eric, where she and Eric were talking, and she said to Eric, she's tired of being the runner-up when it comes to men in her life, and especially with Bill. And I'm just like, y'all remember Bill? Because real talk, when's the last time we've seen Don Diamont on screen?
I'm saying
a long time.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're getting this. Like, you know, but I digress. But I mean, they've got them as busybodies. I mean,
that was what I like watching it. I was like, Ridge and Brooke have just become the Greek chorus, and yes, all they do is just rattle around the show. Josh, one of the things that sort of crossed my mind, and maybe I'm off base on this, but for a moment, I sort of was like, are they going to try and do Eric and Katie?
I can see where you could see that. Yeah, but I don't think that's what they're doing. I think it's because Katie is literally the only one he could tell. Donna used to pour honey on him. Brooke has been married to him and is now Mrs. Kravitz running around forgetting that she slept with her daughter's husband and got pregnant and had Hope. Or not, that's not right. That's not right at all. Help me. I screwed
up. That is right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Deacon. She had so many different things. I got some of it screwed up. Sorry.
She got pregnant with her sister's husband's baby.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
for her sister husband's baby. Yeah.
Mm. Either way, Brooke, not your lesson to teach, Brooke nor Ridge. But at one point, I guess Donna has been talking about Eric, but he can't really tell her. He can't tell Brooke because she's awful. Ridge is horrid. None of his other children are in town or ever call. So Katie is the only person he could tell.
I don't see Eric telling Dollar Bill. I could just see him, Bill, being like, ooh, what? I could see Bill being like, that I ain't got them problems, so I can't help you, homie.
And like, also, just real fast, if we're going to send out the search party for Don Diamont, can we also look for Ted King, too?
Speaking of which, yeah, Mike, what did you think of the Sheila storyline this week?
Sheila is working the creep vibe very well this time around. When she just showed up at Steffi's house and she jumped out of her skin, I liked that Steffi stood up to her.
I don't blame her.
I liked, huh?
I said, I don't blame her.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like that bit. I like that she is afraid of her, but she knows that she has to stand up to her. So the scene between her and Sheila was tense, and it was good, because when she said, you take one more step and I'm going to show you, you didn't really know what was going to happen. But Sheila's not going to stop, obviously. And I'm a little intrigued by this little buddy she has at the hotel, but all her little buddies end up dying somewhere along the way. So I feel bad for that hotel guy, or her landlord or whatever he is. And then
that's Katie's bedroom in Bill's house. But go ahead. I see you.
That's exactly what I thought.
I see you, Brad.
But I have to say, overall with Bold, I was actually pretty engaged in it this week. I mean, I thought Ridge and Brooke were horrible and shrieky. But I liked the moment. You know, as much as I don't like Ridge, Torsten K and John McCook, when they get together and they have those little father-son moments, it's really good. Those two work really well off each other.
So it wasn't a limp noodle for you this week.
Not as much as Eric's. No. Bold is bold. So, you know, I just watch it as I watch it. And when I do that, I get more out of it. So,
I like how y'all love to give them a free pass when y'all want to, but go hard on others.
This is just what it is. But it is what it is. I can't.
No, it's not. No, I refuse to say that. No,
this is going to be me and Jillian doing Super Friends Unite, because Josh and Mike have this thing where it's like, I just have to accept that such and such and such and such is going to be this case. And then
don't be a dick. You didn't even ask me.
No, this is not the first time that it's happened. It will happen with either you or Mike.
Ain't nothing happened yet.
Okay, so we are super friended, but we got a perch for Josh. Like, are you in the vein of Mike? Like, this is what they are, or?
Where I am with this, I think these stories are all terrible. Mm-hmm. They're terrible. What they are giving a little bit of that I wish General Hospital would pay attention to is mess. It's terrible. It doesn't make a lick of sense, but at least it's messy. Mm. I sit through 3 weeks of General Hospital thinking, where's my mess? Mess is coming.
You
no
were
mess.
Here for last week's podcast. Yeah.
Okay. But back to this Miguel. I rebuke thee for saying this is what Bold is. No, because not too long ago, they were on fire when they had Maya turning out to be transgender, when they had Maya and Rick taking over Forrester. Like, they have it. Brad knows how to do it. This is the same man that gave us hope, who had Brooke stooping her daughter's man and getting pregnant with Hope. So Brad has it. Like, this whole, that's how they is. No, I'm not. They get no passes from me.
What they're trying to be is a European telenovela. So basically you get 2 week stories and a lot of overly dramatic carrying on histrionic stuff. But, so yeah, I'm not giving them a pass. Yeah, I can only watch what I'm watching. I don't know. I didn't watch the show when it was on fire, like in the 90s and the 2000s and whatever. And I do remember bits and pieces of it over the years. But the truth is, this show's not going to change.
I doubt and, that. You know what? I bet.
And if I have, that. If I had my choice, it wouldn't be on my list of things to watch, but it's part of this job.
I beg to differ. I do believe they can change.
Well, I hope they do, because
I just think that Brad just feels as though that this is good storytelling. And you know, when Josh talks about mess, I'm like, it's mess, but it's not tying into anything.
No, it's free floating mess.
And the thing with Sheila, it doesn't involve enough people. I mean, there's no Ridge and there's no Daddy Ted King. There's nothing between the mother, her mother, and the natural mother, and the birth mother and the adoptive mother. There's nothing between Thomas and Sheila or anybody else. It's just Finn, Sheila, Steffi. That's it.
I need to apologize to Ted King, because I am so sorry that this has happened. Now, y'all know how I've been crowing for somebody to snatch him up, i.e. Bold. But mm-hmm. I've been specific in how I wanted them to utilize him.
Yeah, this that's is what you got to do when you pray.
I was specific. See? Shit. I'm like, I guess I got to be most specific because I'm like,
worded
damn.
Very carefully like a genie in a bottle when giving one of your three wishes.
I need to like a kid in school doing phonics or something because I'm like, what? And you don't even see him anymore. I'm like, what is this?
I have several wishes for the young and the restless, and most of them involve it just being way better.
That was kind. That was a kind way to say that.
Josh, what yes. did you think of Nick finding out yet another story about Ashlyn's past?
Oh my God. The Young and the Stories That Have Happened Off Screen is the new title of that show. When I tell you all, I'm sitting there listening to to Ashlyn and tell his story, and it's getting more and more dramatic as if there's an audience and it's a play, and the car was on fire and the flames, they were high. And I thought, oh my God, what the fuck am I watching? And I don't even care, because once again, it's about characters that were off screen. Again, throwing spaghetti against a wall to see if it's going to stick, because this was not the original plan. I don't think it was.
If it was, they need better. They need.
It's awful.
They need a better vision for this show.
It's awful. I want to apologize. I didn't even ask for Richard Berge to be on the show, but man, he's a good actor. And man, mm-hmm. this is a terrible story. It's just not good. It's ungood. It's just not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jillian, what did
There's
you
something
think?
Else to say.
It was a letdown again. Like you keep thinking that it was going to be something huge, and it's this.
It's a swapped wallet.
Basically.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. They distilled all this storyline about Ashlyn for how many months into it's a swapped wallet.
And I'm like,
it's Brad Carlton.
I just feel like what the people are, I don't understand with these Bell shows, people are written out of character here because Victor Newman did not like Ashlyn. He was not here for Ashlyn. So you would think he would be like, okay, so this motherfucker is lying again to my baby girl. So to my namesake, like, I'm not going to have that. It's bad enough that she was with a lying, gambling Billy, him saying Billy Miller.
Billy Boy.
Yeah, Billy Boy. But you with this dude, like, I thought Victor being like, oh, it's okay. It's okay that we don't know your real name. I'm like, what?
And then he paid off the blackmailer.
But then
before he did that, he was like, it's okay. But then I'm like, your only caveat is he's better than Billy. I'm like, what are you saying? What are you saying? All Billy was is a fuck up gambler, somebody that you can neutralize. I'm like, this dude. The story just, it's flat.
It's no like soap should ever preface a character as being the most treacherous, worst, evilest, ruthless person and then bring them on, because we saw that with Valentine and Ashlyn, and both times they're not really demonstrating that they're any of those things.
Hold on. With Valentine, to be fair, he was supposed to be that under different regimes.
I understand.
GH has to get a pass for that. Someone else wanted that for him, and another person.
The original envisioning for Valentine was supposed to be that way, but when he was actually brought back by these other people, now granted, he was brought back as a villain, but it wasn't the way he was originally described.
Yeah, that was under someone else. Ashlyn was brought on by this regime as somebody cutthroat, and all I just keep seeing is that. You're just a douche.
He just whines. He whines a lot.
A douche who stole somebody's identity, who let somebody's car get on fire. Like, I thought Victoria's reaction to Nick was, like, wild. I'm like, he's trying to look out for you, and this is your reaction? Like, it's almost like
Cruella DeVille. I'm sorry. Big-eyed and over the top, and I'm not sure where that's coming from either.
I just feel as though she just was pro-Ashlyn because... She's not, you know, that means
it's anti-Billy.
Right, and she doesn't have to be pining after Billy. Like, this comes across
as Victoria being on a rebound, in a rebound relationship she desperately knows is bad and desperately is hanging on to it because she doesn't want to admit that she's a failure. Mike.
And she's still hung up on Billy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mike, the one glimmer bright spot for me was the scenes with Tracy, Phyllis, and Jack, because Tracy sees everything, and the chemistry in that scene just was everywhere. What did you think of how Phyllis and Jack continue to evolve?
Well, it's interesting to me that Phyllis is drawn to Jack now that she knows how he feels. It's almost like they're going to be obviously thrown into these situations where they're together a lot more. But I just think it's interesting that once Jack made that confession, that now it just seems like she's kind of always right there. And it's like they didn't really cross paths before, and now they don't have Summer and Kyle around to kind of keep them from the romantic connection. So I guess it's interesting. It's kind of not where I would want for Jack, but you know,
what would you it does make Jack?
I want Jack to just have, like, I know it's boring in soaps to have a normal relationship, but Jack is kind of, none of the Abbotts have, you know, Ashley, Tracy, Billy is single, but he's not really, I mean, Lily, come on, that's not really a horrible relationship. But I'm just saying, but
whether you like it or not,
the older Abbotts, the older Abbotts, like Tracy, Ashley, and Jack, are all alone and single.
But don't you think that, like, to me, how do I put this? Because I'm not sure I'm going to word it right. But to me, a revisiting of Jack and Phyllis is giving him an old normal relationship in the context of soaps. Because if you look at a lot of the characters on The Young and the Restless who Jack has been with, the two people who come to mind as people who he has connections with are Phyllis and Nikki. Obviously, he's not going to be with Nikki.
Because Victor will even on his deathbed, he'll fuck
that
up.
Yeah, that's not
And so, like, when you look at the people who remain, the women who remain in Genoa City, Phyllis is that person with whom, if the show was going to transition them into more of a patriarchal type relationship, the way that they have Victor and Nikki, that's what I would envision. But I don't think they want to do that with Phyllis. And so in the meantime, we're sort of getting toyed with this, like, Jack loves her, but she's like, they have almost too much history, but they still sort of are drawn to each other.
Yeah, I also think, though, that it, like I said last week, it just inserts another layer into this Nick and Phyllis relationship. So
that certainly needs help.
Yes, it does. And so for me, like, it's the one thing that is good about it is that it will shift the dynamic a little bit between the three of them and spice things up a little bit.
It just needs, I like Phyllis and Jack together, but I don't like to make Jack stable would mean to sacrifice Phyllis's character. That is the character on The Young and the Restless to me that needs a reboot. She needs to go off for a couple of weeks, come back, flaming red hair, new attitude, and wreck shop. She is also an Aunt Kravitz. She is also a Mrs. Kravitz, walking around, getting up in folks' business, having none of her own. This character.
I don't get her being the jack of all trades at her hotel. Like, she's up there fixing air conditioning units and,
it's just the Genoa City boarding house.
Poor Phyllis. Like, when Gina was in the colonnade room, you didn't see her fixing ACs. Meanwhile, Phyllis, like, and she got way less time. Meanwhile, Phyllis, who gets tons of time, is doing maintenance activities
in an
evening gown, too.
Right. So, Jillian, one of the I don't like the story, but the acting has been powerful. What are you thinking of Mariah and Tess?
The story is great. And I like the fact that Tessa finally admitted, like, I don't want to have a baby. Like, she's baby rabies, and she just thinks that something is wrong. Like, Tessa doesn't want to rock the boat, but she knows something is wrong with her, and she knows it's wrong. Like, she's still trying to be gentle and sensitive to her needs, but I like the fact that Tessa is like, okay, I understand that you've suffered a loss and you're going through it, but I still, you know, she still also has feelings herself. And I like the fact that she's open, like, I'm not wanting no baby. Like, my career is on fire, girl. Like, I like that. This is a very juicy storyline. Like, in that, because I would say it's juicy because it's hearkening to things in real life. Like, you know, you've always heard people when they have surrogates, oh, the surrogate was lovely, and the baby is beautiful, blah, 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 blah. You never hear anything else afterwards. You just hear that these people do it all the time, but we've never heard a situation where, oh, you know, it was great and everything, but after a while, the surrogate, you know, afterwards the surrogate had postpartum and whatnot. So this is very interesting to see play out. I feel for Mariah, like, she thinks that a baby will solve her problems, and this is why I'm like, baby, you need some help for real, because, you know, you have women out there or men out there who think a kid will automatically solve what ails them, you know what I mean? So I like that it's true to life. The acting is really good. That storyline, I mean, it still needs a little oomph, but it's interesting. They need to piss or get off the pot with this Chance thing.
Yeah.
Kill him dead.
I think they should just kill him dead.
Kill him dead or bring it back.
I would like to see Devon take a. I would like to see Devon take a little turn, because when he was walking that baby, he was talking to him like,
How many years have we been asking for Devon to take a turn?
I know, but
no, stop.
But like Bud said when we were watching it, Bud said that he should call Neil his grandfather. You know what I mean? It just make
they were by start, themselves.
Start so making like, it yeah. like I'm your father, not Chance. You know what I mean? Just so like Devon gets.
So he should step in. He should tell Abby, look, I'm not here for this. Where the fuck is Chance? We were all supposed to do this together. I think that's the turn Mike means, right? Yep. That you want him to step up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it's like a breach of contract, right? Because the contract was that they were going to have that baby for
all three of them.
Both of them.
I feel so Devon should say, no, I don't know where he is. I don't give a damn that he's undercover. He trying to play like he's Sonny Crockett. I'm not here for it.
Let's talk about a different.
Well, he ain't Tubbs. I know that. But
Josh, you weren't here last week. What are you thinking of Mar Devil and her going after Doug?
Oh my God, it's wonderful. It's glorious. With the best part to me of this entire week, not the best part, but one of the better scenes this entire week is Julie not listening to Doug and Doug getting frustrated. And then you pan up in the corner and there's Mar Devil sitting there relaxed with her eyes on. I was like, that's awesome.
He put you in that freezer, girl. You don't listen.
I know. You could see Doug was getting like, I almost wanted him to go, Julie, shut up.
I wanted him to say, Julie, you want me to put you back in that damn freezer? I felt so, oh my God. Him, oh, I felt like this was one of the rare times. Like in soaps, there's some times where you get so caught up in it that you feel like it's real life. This one time, it was like when Doug was trying to convey to John that Marlena was Mar Devil, and he couldn't, like, he just kept saying, she tried to kill me. You got to believe me. I felt it, fam. I was like, believe him, John. What the fuck?
Has definitely been the highlight for me as at the beginning of this story. I'm sure we'll see more, but so far, Doug has been the highlight.
Oh, my God. It was so good when he was like, you got to believe me. And when he finally cracked through John, you know, John never messes with Marlena's stuff because she's a doctor. When he played that record, I was like, Oh, please, John, please. Oh, my God.
And it's Umbrella. Everybody. Yes. It's everywhere. And it's not just people sitting around talking about one part of it. I love this movie thing. I love how it's including everybody on canvas. And all I could think was, Abigail has dissociative identity disorder, and the devil comes in when you have a weakness in your mind.
I like how they brought that up, and she was a little hesitant on it because she was like, you know, someone who has DID, I don't know about that. I like that they brought that aspect in there.
Yeah.
I thought that was cute. I did like Lucas being like, sticking it to EJ. You know, I'm an EJ Ami fan, but yeah. I did like when he told Lucas, you know, he's portraying his mother's, the love of his mother's life, is rubbing it in, and he's like, I'm footing the bill for this bitch. I'm invested. And EJ is just like, I'm going to punch this boy in the face.
I
and
have to say that I love the way that the newer audience might be seeing this storyline through the eyes of Chanel, because Chanel wasn't around, so she's being told all of these things and these crazy ass white people and all this stuff that's going on. I think it's because her reaction is how you would react.
Her reaction is mine. Like I told y'all, my sister came home when she came home from boarding school and was like, you have to turn it on at 1 o'clock. You have to turn it to NBC. I'm like, why? No. I'm like, we watch all my children here. And she's like, no, we watch it in the girls' activity room. I'm like, we do not watch that. I'm like, isn't that with the crazy white woman who's possessed by the devil? And it was around that time too, I think. Because when was that? In 94, right?
Yeah. 96, yeah. 94, 95, yeah.
Yes. And I was like, no. I said, we're a Christian household, girl. And we watched it. And that was like on the aftermath of it. And that's how I got into Dave. She is me and I am her. Because I'm like, everybody, what the fuck? Devil possessions. And it's still, I'm not going to lie, even, look, we know Days ain't got a budget. They got $2 and a pot to piss mm-hmm. in. But Marlena's recording of the devil, do not watch the show when it's dark outside or in a dark room, okay? Because I got a little nervous. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. Don't do that.
Well, I'm going to circle back to Chanel shortly. But before I do that, Mike, I wanted to get your thoughts on Ben and Sierra's storyline. They're back in Salem. They are struggling with the topic of having a baby, much like we're dealing with Tess and Mariah on YNR. What are you thinking of Ben's insecurities about having children?
I think it's a step forward in his progression. I mean, Ben and Sierra are pretty, well, I'm going to say they're not stagnant as a couple, but they need to have forward momentum. Now they're married. They're thinking about family. Yeah. So I think it shows a little growth in Ben for him to start thinking about how having a child could affect the child based on his mental history and mm-hmm. serial killing past. And this
and it also
kind of
exposes his own insecurities.
Right. But it also addresses something that I think that I've been wanting for the show to address, is that Ben does have this past and it's always going to be with him. So I think it's good that he's doing that. And who's he going to go talk to? Marlena. So it's like, yes. now you've got Ben and Sierra and Abigail. It's all, yeah, I think it's the possibilities of this storyline are like, if you have a good imagination, you can really run wild with it. But I think it's good that they're doing that with Ben. They should be addressing that sort of history. Just like I liked when Tripp was trying to give him advice. He's like, I don't have an answer for you, but you have to just figure out what you're going to be comfortable with.
Jillian, on last week's podcast, one of the topics that you wanted to get to, and I'm going to use this as a segue from Days to GH, was Trina and Spencer. I know you put that on Twitter, and one of our longtime listeners pointed out that it's also interesting that two of the hottest couples are interracial couples, one's on Days and one's on General Hospital. So what are you thinking of how Johnny and Chanel are playing out, both in the movie and their relationship, and then use that as a segue to what's going on General Hospital with Trina and Spencer?
Notice I wanted to talk about Trina and Spencer, but he talks about the other couple.
It's a segue.
We don't look alike. We don't look alike. No, seriously. I think Johnny and Chanel are cute. I thought that it was so sweet. Like, okay, I'm going to be real. When I saw him in Horton Square Park or whatever that is, Horton Town Square, with that guitar, I'm not going to lie. I know the young man sings also in real life, that's fine, no problems with it. You know, I don't like when they introduce that on the show, when they have these actors who sing, dance, and play music on jugs and on a scrub board. I hate it with spoons and all. I hate it. No, I don't like it. Remember that other Nicholas who used to sing and dance? Oh, and ugh.
Jesus.
Anyways, moving right along. I was like, oh, God. But I thought it was cute. And it had him give you a little backstory about how he became, how he got to where he wanted to be a filmmaker when he said he wanted to be a rock star. And before that, he wanted to be what? An FBI agent. I thought that was, I was like, oh, y'all.
Put I was it, like, listen to Jillian.
I was like, y'all put that back in there. I loved it. I thought it was cute. He has yet to interact with Rafe, hasn't he? But
I think he did very early on, but
I don't mind it. Listen, I don't mind it. I don't need Rafe around Sammy's children no more, acting like he is father's knows best. His their real daddies are out there. I don't mind it. But I just brought that up because Rafe was the fuzz. But I thought it was so cute. I think the relationship is so listen, I'm gonna be honest. They need to tell the young man, or maybe, I don't know if they're just writing it that way, if it's an acting choice, the young man that plays Trip, he needs to step his game up, because it's all, to me, it's all about Johnny, Chandel, and Allie.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot that
Trip, boy Trip is forgettable. He's forgettable.
I forgot that he was in there. He, and that young man used to be a little bit better than that. So I'm like, young man, step it up. I think it's, you know, it's in what you were saying about the hottest couples, that just goes to show you, like, we are not, you know, monolith. We can do other things. Like, I wish YNR would take, I hope somebody has those shows on in YNR's writing rooms, because I'm like, my God, they have the white folk, they have the black folks segregated, minus Lily, anyways. And they're all in couplings together with each other, minus Lily, and whatever.
Lily
and
has always gotten more airtime with the white cast than anybody else on the show, with the exception of Neil until he passed.
Yeah, she's always been in a relationship with them. Like, this goes to show, like, we can be more than that. Like, I
what would be revolutionary on The Young and the Restless is if Lily and Devon actually ended up dating, because it would it would play on their sibling element, and it would actually put them to Lily with a black man.
Oh, I'm like, I thought you was thinking. No, back up. But you know, it just shows that we can do more if you give it to us. I like that Chanel is a socialite diva. She's fluid and she's unapologetic about it. She has many facets to her. She has many layers. That's what I wanted for Devon. That's what I want for Amanda. We had something like that with Hillary. Damn you, Mal Young.
And his gift.
Yeah, fuck you and that gift. So I'm enjoying Johnny there. I, you know, we can't have her on there. I'm not like Luke, who thinks Allison Sweeney walks on water and should be in every scene. However, comma, it would be interesting to see what Sammy has to say, that both of her kids are interested in Chanel. I would love to know what her take is on that. We've gotten a little something something from Marlena, but I'm like, that's all fine and dandy. EJ seems to be side-eyeing Chanel, thinking that Chanel may be a gold digger. And I'm like, bitch, Paulina told me to tell you, not today. But I would like to know, you know, Sammy has been very protective for hers. So I would like to know what she has to say about that. Like, if she's just like, what the fuck? Or if she's like, okay, I'm down with it. Just don't break my children's hearts and I'm cool. You know, I would like to know that. GH, you want to talk about GH? Listen, okay, the Trina and the Spencer and Trina thing, I think they have boffo chemistry together. Like, it's like fire when they both interact. It's fire. My only caveat with it is GH has thrown so much drama, so much angst their way, and they haven't even said to each other that they like each other. You get what I'm saying? Like, I love the girl who plays Esme. I think she's a great find. I think she plays creepy, scary bitch. She plays it to the T, honey, because I'm just like, Ryan looked like he's scared of her, more than she's scared of him. But I felt as though they should have brought her in a little bit down the line. Like, I wanted Trina to... I wanted it to all unfold this way. Trina finds out that he's Spencer, and she's just a little hesitant on being with him. Then they get together, and then he, you know, they get together. She finds out that he's the stalker. She dumps him because she can't trust him. He builds up the trust. And then Esme comes to town, and she's like, bitch, who are you? And Esme's like, no, no, bitch, I'm his woman. Who are you? Like, that's the, like, it's just, they haven't even said that they liked each other to each other yet. They only know it through other people. And other people know that they like each other, but them saying it hasn't hit there yet. And I just wish we had more of that. And my gripe also is everybody has a boo in that teen scene. Like, don't get me wrong. I will stick to this 10 toes down. I think that GH has the best teen scene. Hell, they got the only teen scene, to be quite honest. They do. They're the only teen scene. Days, you can't call Chanel them the teen scene. They're young adults.
In their early 20s.
Yeah, they're in their early 20s. These, like, the teen scene, GH has nailed the teen scene.
What, you ain't like Faith and Moses in their little conversation?
we don't remember God. Them. I forget them. That it's only them two. I'm like, Faith, Moses, I'm waiting for Blessed and Highly Favored to pop up on screen with these names. Oh, hate it. But I'll go back to what I'm going to say.
All right.
You know, Joss has had Cam interested in her, Oscar, stay dead, interested in her, Dev interested in her. Spencer has Esme. Trina doesn't have a boo. Like, they had Cam sniffing around her, and GH messed that up because everybody was liking that, but then they put him with Joss. And I'm like, okay, fine, it makes more sense because their mamas hate each other, and that's drama, but we have yet to see that play out.
Which we haven't seen.
Yeah, play out with the mamas. So, but Trina don't have anybody. That's why I've been saying they need to put in another guy in there, like, you know, we have Spinelli as the tech geek. You need somebody.
I almost feel like a kid of Jagger's could show up.
Child, anyways, we're going to keep that to myself. But that Jagger will have to show up. So.
Oh, no.
Well, maybe we don't want that.
Yeah,
I just feel like there's some iconic characters from the 90s who could have children out there who could show up.
You know, like,
is there not a little Alcazar running around somewhere?
Maybe Tommy Hardy.
Well, but that's a girl, right? Because that's Sky's child, Lila.
Maybe Tommy Hardy can. Tommy Hardy Jr. is old enough. He's grown. I don't mean for him to be Trina. Maybe he has a child of his own now that's interested in Trina. Maybe one of the wards has a child that could be, you know, a sexy ward can be interested in Trina. That's also, like, I'm mentioning the tech aspect. Instead of it always being Spinelli, you need somebody new school. Spinelli's old school. You got somebody young, because I'm like, this is their Generation Z, and, you know, the writing regime over at GH is fairly young. It's no shade. They're younger than the other cats in the game. And I'm just like, y'all aren't having them do young Gen Z things. Like, you know, you should be posting on Instagram shenanigans, or you should be trying to find out who the hell Esme is on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and TikTok. They don't mention those things. So that's why I said they should bring, like, a young, hip dude on for Trina that's also a tech person. That also makes Spencer stand up and say, well, wait a minute now, who is this cat? And she lets Spencer know, no, you got creepy girl over there. Like, make it like a real triangle or something.
Other option would be is to bring in another wealthy playboy type, so that, because Spencer doesn't consider Cam to be competition in any way, shape, or form.
That's why I said kid. That's why
a playboy type would be another fun dynamic to add.
That's why because it's a Quartermain. He has money. He doesn't have to flaunt it like Spencer, but he can let Spencer know, bitch, I have money. And what?
My money's just as old as yours, or almost.
Exactly.
let's talk about General Hospital, because there's a lot that can fall under the Sunny's Return Aftermath umbrella. We had a Carly versus Nina face-off. We had Maxie telling Carly and...
out of character.
And all of a sudden, Jocelyn, I can't ever remember Jocelyn's name, Jocelyn, about Nina in the first place. We had Jocelyn turning into a shrieking shrew, like
not
her mother.
Jocelyn. That sounds
well,
like
but
me.
I for me personally, I've enjoyed Jocelyn as a character while other people dislike her. But this week was just unbearable. Then there was a little bit of mess in terms of what Esme did by letting Sunny know that they were that supposedly Nick and Ava were going to take the child and leave, but Sunny was in those scenes with Nicholas, for me, was pretty like everything that I don't like about Sunny being self-righteous and unbearable just immediately came back in those scenes with Nick for me.
It was very out. And it was so very out of character for Sunny, because he don't know Esme, but you believe Esme.
Yeah, I didn't get right. that at all.
So, Mike, I'm going to let you tackle the General Hospital first in terms of the umbrella storyline. What stood out for you and what had you scratching your head?
Well, what stood out for me, of course, was Nina and Carly. And it really, really made me happy to see that Nina stood up to Carly and was able to say that she's willing to apologize to everyone except her.
Baby!
I thought Carly was in ultra chewy mode this week, but
chewy like
then
Chewbacca
she went.
Chapman?
Yeah, and she then she went after Jax, and then Jocelyn went after Jax. I don't know. It's like it
Jocelyn
was a,
with Maxie.
It was
like, pretty bad too.
It was like Scream Fest Hospital this week, but the thing that struck me was that I thought the conversation between Nina and Sunny was interesting, because he wants to get mad, but I feel like he's control. There's an aspect to Sunny's behavior that I'm just going to like sit on for a minute. He was extra Sunny this week, but there's a part of him that's trying to forget the Mike part. And I feel like he's compensating by being over the overbearing. Unbearable, as Luke put it. And I'm waiting for this little connection to come around. And maybe he'll realize, I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but it's part of that thing of like, we talked last week that I was kind of like waiting for something to happen for this to kind of all tie together. And I'm still waiting. There was some mess this week, but it wasn't really as messy. It was predictable. We knew Carly was going to go in on
we knew Carly was going to go in on Nina. We knew she was going to go in on Jax. We knew that she was going to be self-righteous. We didn't necessarily know that Sunny was going to all of a sudden do a giant left turn and end up on Cassadine Island and scream his head off. But
no, but I also feel I think like that some of this is that he's trying to maybe he's somehow we don't have any insight into what's going on in Sunny's head. So I'm just kind of magic TVing stuff. I feel like Sunny is just trying to make up for lost time. And,
I feel like
they reinsert himself as quickly as possible to remind people that he's the boss. But then there's that part of him that he had that talk with Nina, who's pretending that Mike didn't exist and Mike didn't have feelings for her. And I feel like these two things are going to come together at some point.
I think that what is happening, you're right. A lot of what took place on this last week on General Hospital was very predictable, and it lacked the mess that it could have had if the groundwork had been laid earlier. I'm not going to go back and revisit that rant. You can go to that to the last podcast and listen it. But what I think is interesting about Sunny is that what you are describing to me, if I was going to try and boil it down, is he still has something for Nina, even though he doesn't really want to admit it. And he's overcompensating for that by going over the top on everyone else. At the same time, he has after spending 9 months setting up a story to have it be a bust, I'm not sure I have the confidence that this can play out, but there has to be a reason why Carly and Jason's conversations about his bipolar and being back on the meds and everything is taking place so quickly and so often, because if they're not going to make him more of a loose cannon, or if they're not going to try and make him a little bit more Mike so that he's unsettling for Jason and Carly, then it just feels like a waste. Josh, you weren't here last week.
I just gonna say one more thing. I like the thing that that Carly and Jason are trying to withhold the real reason why they got married. I feel like that's going to come back to bite them, and maybe Sonny will just kind of silently observe what's going on between them and pick up the vibe. But I think it's perfectly natural for Carly to think about the bipolar thing. She's lived with that.
I think it is too, but they went from he's back to the doctor's given me a clean bill, everything's fine, super fast. And I feel like it was too fast to the point where they're trying to paper over what might really be going on. Josh, what did you think of the Sonny's return fallout?
Okay. I think there are very good scenes happening. And strangely enough, I'm going to cut for GH here.
I think, well, I know, right?
So
I'm solo on this, so let me hear it.
So I'm sort of, I'm going to trust the process here, because what I saw this week was exactly what I thought I should see with Sonny, which is Sonny acting crazed, like he was over Sonny, overly Sonny at some points, and he was under Sonny at some points. He was very strangely not dismissive, but forgiving of Nina.
Bipolar.
And then, maybe, but more so what someone would feel like if they were trying to come back and reclaim their lives and had not had their memory for 9 months. He was kind of trying to, rah, I'm going to be Sonny. And I thought that kind of made sense to me. The going to Cassadine Island, he's looking for somebody to blame. He wants people. He wants to blame people for stuff.
Right.
He's upset that his life was taken away from him and all these people went on, and he's trying to act like everything's normal and right the ship. I don't love all of the way they're doing it, but I'm okay with this a little bit. Carly versus Nina was the best part of the week for me, because Laura Wright and Cynthia Watros, La Watros, coming
she
for that lead Emmy.
No. That yeah. She was Annie fucking Dutton.
Oh,
bitch.
Yes, she was. Coming for that lead Emmy. Let me tell you, I am Nina Dutton right now.
Be roar in a good way, unlike Sonny.
When she roared in and said, I will ask forgiveness of his seventh grade math teacher, but I'll be damned if I ask forgiveness.
Oh, that was so hot.
Oh, it was so, so good.
Yeah. I'm glad.
And I thought they were going to have Nina cower. And I loved that they gave her the backbone that she needs, because Carly does everything under the sun to everybody, but and never has to face much of anything. And Nina was like, oh, hell, not no, but hell fuck no, I am not dealing with this. The only component of this story that to me is off, Maxie would never do to Nina what she did.
No.
That was off. Maxie and Carly don't like each other. She would never do that.
Maxie and Carly never had beef.
I just thought historically they've sort of circled each other, but they've never really had the confrontations that Carly's had with Alexis, or Carly's had with Liz, or Carly's had with Nina.
I just don't think that Maxie would immediately go to Carly and sell Nina out like that.
Nina is covering Maxie's big secret, and yeah. Nina is her sister-in-law. So Maxie's loyalty is to Nina. So for Jocelyn, I just hated the fact that they had
Jocelyn was unbearable.
I just didn't like that they had Jocelyn look at Maxie for 2 minutes and say, you know something, you're going to my, I didn't like that. And Maxie's like, okay, like, no, that was totally out of character for Maxie.
I was thinking about you, Jillian, when I was watching it, because all I could think was I wanted Maxie to flip and go, okay, little girl.
I wanted her to tell her, lower your tone. Like, look, girl, I know we're in your mom's kitchen, but you're not going to talk to me like that.
No.
I wanted Carly to tell, or at least for Carly to tell Jocelyn, watch your mouth.
Yeah.
Like, chill.
This is grown folks' business.
Thank you.
Yes.
Jocelyn is now 19 and in college. She's an adult.
Okay. I still wanted Carly to still check her and let her know, look, you still an adult, but you in my house. I'm the woman of this house. You chill it out. Like, I didn't like that at all.
Let me say this about two script points really fast. I thought that the dialogue between Carly and Nina was great. I thought when Esme shut Jocelyn down with that little line, minding your business is free. Minding mine will cost you. I thought, now I'm in you. Now I got it. Now I'm with you. And I thought, okay.
Do you guys think she's Ryan's daughter?
I don't know.
Could be one of those fans of, you know how like some people in prison attract people. Somebody like Charles Manson had people, women that wanted to marry him. And it's bizarre behavior.
Somebody
brought up
that her last name is Prince. And they did a little tracking and fact finding. And Michael Tylo, you know, rest in peace. He passed away this week. They pointed out that he played a prince on GH. The last name was Prince. And he turned out to be Larry Ashton's half-brother or something. And
he's the real lord.
He's the person that's supposed to have the title that Lord Ashton had. And I'm just like, I wonder if that is the connection there.
She reminds me of a young Lindsay Rappaport. In terms of like just the scheming and the manipulation.
She was never creepy like that. Only when she started to lose her fucking mind.
She's sort of Nell-ish in that, but Nell, they gave Nell a backstory so that you sort of understood why Nell was Nell. So we have to wait and see what they're going to do with
Esme.
Here's
what I'll do. Esme reminds me of what I would have thought Sierra would have turned into if the little actress who played the little demon Sierra would have actually grown into the role.
Esme reminds me of the girl from The Ring. She's going to come out, that monster's going to come out and swallow you up. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, my God. But, like, this is my gripe with the Carly situation. When Carly was going up with Nina, I'm like, Nina dragged you from hell and back. Only when Jason comes running in, I didn't like that at all. I was like, no, bitch, keep that energy when Nina was there. You know what I like, though? Nina pushed her hand, and said, come on. I said, oh! I'm sorry, but Sylvia Watchros owned those scenes. Look, let's just be real. This is nothing against Laura, right? This is just how they write it. Liz Corte, I'm talking to you. Whenever Carly is going up against someone, she owns the scene. She wins, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, but Cynthia Watro said, no, Musheri. She owned those scenes, and I like it. I like the fact that Nina was contrite, but she just said, fuck you, bitch. I'm sorry what I did to his kids, to everybody else, but you, the hell with you. I like that, and they need to keep that. Like, Carly cannot be so self-righteous. Well, we all know Carly is not self-aware. We know she's never self-aware, but she cannot always win a scene and this and that. Like, it needs to be drama. Like, I did
Carly
like
is not Victor Newman.
She needs a
I
rival.
Did like, yeah. No. I did like when Maxie did like check Carly and was like, look, I cannot judge because I have done some things. I'm like, damn right you did, Maxie.
Yep.
And then she looks at Carly like, we can't judge, can we, Carly? I was like, and Carly kind of tried to dance around it because Jocelyn was there. But I like that Maxie brought it home. Like, Carly, you know shrinking violet, bitch. Mm-mm. And I'm not going to air you out in front of your child. I just feel like they're trying to make, and then with Jocelyn, they're trying to make her Carly 2.0. It's understandable. I think they should have her as a mashup of Carly and Josh. I mean, Carly and Jax. Like, she needs to stay at her grown folks' business. Like, that annoyed me. I wanted someone to check her for that. Like, and she's acting like she was devastated by Sonny's disappearance. You aren't the Corinthos kids. We should have seen the Corinthos kids. Like, that's Christina.
Why wasn't Michael eavesdropping about with Carly and Nina?
Why wasn't Christina, who just did a drive-by to cry and then leave, why wasn't she there? This Chris should be Christina.
Right. Yeah. Final thoughts, Mike.
I guess my final thought would be that as far as the GH thing, there are other aspects that I liked as well that I didn't really talk about, which is I like Spencer and Cam when he was about to. I like that scene, and I like the when Nicholas and Spencer are together. He got him to admit that he was the one that was stalking Ava finally. So that's going to move forward. So I'm kind of looking forward to see how that plays out.
Cam got on my nerves sitting up. Like, and Trina was like, boy, you had one damn job. Why are you messing shit up? That annoyed me.
Is that your final thought, Jillian, or
no,
do you have a different one?
No, that ain't my final thought, but that annoyed me. My final thought is for GH, if we're going to have this triangle with Spence with Trina, Spencer, and Esme, you need to throw someone in there, and I don't mean Cam, but Trina, because it's going to be a lot of angst going on. So, like, what's the, like, if you're not going to make them a couple, why, like, for now, like, why can't she enjoy somebody? I don't like it.
Josh, final thoughts?
My final thought is about, and we know the Emmy system is the Emmy system, but this week I was reminded about Emmy performances. John McCook, terrible story on Bold and the Beautiful, but that chin quivering, crying thing when he was begging, basically begging Rich, don't make me say this, don't make me do this, and then ended it with that lovely touch on Rich's cheek. John McCook, Emmy worthy. Let's go over to Days. Bill Hayes, 90 freaking 5 years old, Bill Hayes. Just making me believe that he wanted Julie to shut up and is desperate to need to tell them what's going on. Flip over to General Hospital. Cynthia Watros, to end this conversation that we've had. The last part of it was Carly had Nell's name all up in her mouth, but then Nina dared to say Morgan.
See,
and then Carly goes nuts. And then Cynthia Watros, and Nina just basically just not, she dropped the mic and said, I'm out. I was awesome. It was everything. Watros, John McCook, even Bill Hayes over at Days. These are performances I need to see celebrated at the Emmys this next year.
When I saw Marlena take a whack at Julie, I thought of Jillian, honestly. Because I think you want to take a whack at Julie many Jillian. Times.
Sometimes Julie just needs that. And I was like, girl.
My final thoughts are Dr. O with Ryan Lavery was unexpected and yet fun. BLQ and Ned having the conversation about autism, I really like that. I forgot about that bit.
Yeah.
I think that Brooklyn is becoming, they're adding the layers to her that I need them to add to her to make her the next Tracy. She's very strong. She's very hard. But yet they're adding the nuance.
She has a softness to her.
Yes, they're doing that. They're turning her into the next Tracy, and that's what I want for her. I cannot wait for next week to when Ava unleashes after all has been revealed. Because Maura West, get your Emmy nomination notebook back, Josh, because Maura West is going to unleash this next week if they do what I expect.
Ava, when she's heard about this Esme, she was like, I don't like her. And for her to catch her with Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
To catch her with Ryan. And then the fact that she's going to find out that Esme went to Sunny and is messing with her daughter.
Ava. Oh, yeah.
Like, Maura West next week. If the writing does not disappoint, like the climax of Sunny's return from being Mike does, next week is going to be a great week as an Ava fan. On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Josh is at DrJoshua09. Jillian is at JillianBow. And Mike is at MPJ24. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Bye.
Seventh grade math teacher.